morning, my friends, and welcome to another incredible installment of the program. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy blustery Wednesday. In like a lamb, out like a lion, evidently. The general weather accuracy of the Farmer's Almanac never ceases to amaze me. Even with all of our newfangled weather equipment where we can tell you what's going to happen with the weather, updated on an hourly basis, the folks that run the Farmer's Almanac can do the same thing, almost, a year in advance. Their 2024 version, which, remember, is published almost a year in advance, says that we're going to have a cold and rainy and sometimes snowy April. I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's been happening outside, but it seems like they've kind of hit the nail on the head. This might just lead you to believe that the weather is cyclical. How else could they have remained in business since 1792? Yeah, that's what I said. 232 years. According to Britannica Online, the Farmer's Almanac is an American annual journal containing anecdotal weather prognostications, planting schedules, astronomical tables, astrological lore, recipes, anecdotes, and sundry pleasantries of rural interest, was first published by Robert B. Thomas in 1792 for the year 1793. The Almanac issued long-range weather forecasts based on esoteric interpretations of natural phenomenon long before the United States Weather Bureau, which was renamed the National Weather Service in 1970, or any other weather service existed, and generations of farmers have planted and harvested according to its advice. The word old was added to the name in 1830 to distinguish the journal from imposters. The Farmer's Almanac has been in continuous publication longer than any other American journal. Huh. So much for all this climate change business. Of course, the Farmer's Almanac doesn't tell you what the weather's going to be next Tuesday at 3 o'clock. Evidently, only the Weather Channel can do that. But to be able to prognosticate the weather a year in advance might lead one to believe that the weather is entirely cyclical. Though it does change, it changes on a much longer time frame than any of these morons in the climate change mafia would have you believe. As it relates to the CCM, or the climate change mafia, they are engaged in one of the oldest gags in the book. It's so old, in fact, that it actually has a Latin name. It's called post hoc ergo propter hoc. Yeah, I know, it's kind of fun to say, but it literally means after this, therefore because of this. The easiest explanation of this logical fallacy, and it is, look it up, is the classic thing of walking underneath a ladder and then something bad happening to you and assuming that the bad events were a result of you walking underneath a ladder. Completely illogical, and while the two events do correlate, there's no causation to them. Let me give you another example that might help illustrate this whole climate change business a little bit better. Once all of this cold, blustery, wintry Farmer's Almanac predicted spring is over, we'll go into summer. So let's say that you decide to study why drownings go up in the summer, and you come to realize that the amount of drownings that happen in the summer actually coincide with the consumption of ice cream. And so you draw a conclusion that drownings are caused by the consumption of ice cream. While it's true that you do see a similar upward trend in drownings and ice cream, there's no causal link between the ice cream consumption and drownings. But nonetheless, you publish your profound paper claiming that ice cream is the cause of everybody drowning. And then someone comes along and points out that maybe the drownings are caused by an increased amount of swimming. Turns out that the more people are in the water, the more of them die from having water in their lungs. But this is the exact type of faulty logic that all of these climate change wackos are using. If you missed yesterday's installment of the live program, I talked about this whole phenomenon a little bit. You have all of these talking heads in the media that really couldn't tell you the difference between your head and a hole in the ground that are trying to lead you to believe things that just plainly are not true. A perfect example of these idiotic talking heads is The View. Normally, I wouldn't even consider torturing you with audio from The View, but this one is just too much to resist. This soundbite is from Monday. They're talking about the eclipse and the earthquake and all of that, and lawyer Sunny Houston, I guess that's how you pronounce her name, suggests that all of it is due to climate change, and even her idiot cohorts on The View have to correct her. Here's the first piece of that sound.
I mean, I have to say, Karen Dupiche, our wonderful makeup artist, when the earthquake was happening, she put her coat on and she was like, Jesus is coming.
I'm out.
I'm leaving. We've got a solar eclipse. She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Although I love the first time in
two different kinds of cicadas.
Are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know better.
But in a way,
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
So Sunny Houston, the not-so-bright talking head on The View, thinks that all of this is about climate change. And you heard her co-hosts on The View correcting her as she went. But the funny part is what happened next. The wild conspiracy theories of dimwit Houston were also way too much for Joyless Behar and Whoopi Cushion Goldberg. Here's what they said.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
No, it happens.
And the eclipse,
they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen, and they actually can say when these things are going to happen. So all these folks who are saying, you know, it's a sign from God. God doesn't give you warning. Okay? You think he gave people at the Tower of Babel warning? Oh, I'm about to jack y'all up? No. God does stuff, and then you figure, oh, that's probably because I just, You know, I mean, it's no. But the cicadas come. We have them every 17 years. There's some we get every 20-some-odd years. And they just go under, and they come back up.
I'm pretty sure that there's an entire book full of warnings. We'll get back to the program in just a quick second. But first, an absolutely outrageous profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. It's allegedly spring, and it might be a good idea to start thinking about that building you've been dreaming about all winter. You know, the one that will keep your boat from filling up with snow and the motorcycle from living in a snowbank all winter long. The two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. These guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job. So, doesn't matter what type of building you're thinking about, give Nick and Jesse a call, and they'll handle all the details. Their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out at their website at mortonbuildings.com. My friends, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means, don't you? Gun of the Week time from Gunrunner Auctions. Holy smokes, my friends. The gun of the week is lot number one. It's a Browning high-power Renaissance-grade 9mm automatic pistol with a 4 3/4-inch barrel. It's engraved with pearl grips. My friends, this firearm is absolutely, without a doubt, beautiful. It was manufactured in 1968 in Belgium, so it's a Belgian Browning high power in excellent condition, the highest grade that Browning produces. It's got profuse hand scroll engraving on a satin nickel coin finish, on all metal surfaces. It's got a gold trigger, a round hammer, and faux mother-of-pearl grips, fixed sights, and one high-capacity magazine. It includes the factory manual and factory black soft case with a cream-colored interior. All of this is in excellent condition. My friends, this is a beautiful, beautiful, and flashy pistol. 1978 was the last year of this production, and it's a must-have for any Browning collector. And it can be yours. It's lot number one at GunrunnerAuctions.com. The following advertisement was paid for by Reed Raisner for Senate.
I'm Reed Raisner, and I'm running for United States Senate because our politicians have forgotten what's important. They spend billions protecting borders in Europe and do nothing about our border. You deserve better. Wyoming deserves better. That's why I'm running, to serve you. Join me, and let's send new blood and a strong backbone to D.C. before it's too late. Go to ReedRaisner.com to learn more and join the fight.
And now, back to our program. Anyway, all of this climate change stuff is a bunch of nonsense, and you shouldn't pay any attention to it. Does everybody remember way back just a couple of weeks ago when the governor vetoed a whole bunch of bills that overwhelmingly passed the Wyoming legislature? You know, House Bill 125 and Senate File 54 and all of those. You remember that? Well, a bunch of conservatives called for a special session, and the vote on it was a straight party line vote, the conservatives versus the redcoats. There were op-eds written, accusations flying around, the conservatives just want to waste $700,000 and pay no attention to the $11.5 billion that the other side spent. Yeah, pay no attention to that. Do you remember that whole thing? Since then, we've had a really terrible incident with a wolf. Or rather, with a guy named Cody Roberts, who captured a wolf, taped its mouth shut, paraded it through a bar, and then shot it in the head behind the bar. Really bad situation. In fact, it reflects very poorly on all sportsmen. Bad all the way around it. Well, one of those issues is that Wyoming law is not exactly clear on how to prosecute that whole thing. Wyoming statute doesn't clearly say that it's illegal to run down a wolf on a snowmobile. In fact, wolves are predatory animals, at least in half the state. The other half of the state, they're game animals. So that's pretty confusing in and of itself. We have animal cruelty statutes, which this is a clear example of that, taping the wolf's mouth shut and then parading it through a bar. All Wyoming animals are property of the state of Wyoming. It's absolutely illegal for you to capture a live animal, whether it's a fish, a wolf, an elk, or otherwise. All of those are property of the state of Wyoming. It is interesting who came to his defense. Redcoat former Speaker of the House Albert Sommer said, well, you know, the guy made a really bad decision, but he's a really good guy. Fascinating that Albert Sommers would associate himself with somebody of that caliber. Anyway, in this situation, Wyoming law is pretty unclear. According to news reports, they don't know if they're going to charge him under game and fish statutes or animal cruelty or whatever. It's all kind of up in the air. Well, now there's a state senator who before was completely against having a special session, totally against dealing with matters that could come up in the next legislative general session. But he's suggesting that perhaps the Wyoming legislature should get together and discuss this whole matter in a special session. You'll never guess who it is.
This is a good deal for Wyoming. It could be a good deal. We can't even start to figure it out until we pass this bill.
That's right, my friends. Nancy Case. One of the redcoats who said that a special session isn't necessary, it's going to cost too much money, and we can take this stuff up during the general session, is now saying that perhaps we could have a special session to deal with this whole wolf statute. Nothing like hypocrisy first thing in the morning. Documents obtained by Cowboy State Politics show an email originating from Sandbags Newsom, which says, quote, I know many of you have heard about the wolf abuse issue in Daniel, Wyoming. Senator Schuler and I will have Director Nesvik give a report at our joint TRW meeting on May 14th. The, quote, update on wolf management, end quote, will be listed on our agenda and will take place around 11 a.m., to which Nancy Case replies, and I quote, is anyone thinking special session, end quote. Now, to be fair to Nancy, it may have been a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but nonetheless, it is a state senator using his legislative email account, obviously suggesting that a special session is possible. It's not okay if the conservatives suggest it, but it's clearly totally in the right if it's one of the redcoats. I'm sure that many of his fellow redcoats realized the peril of even hitting reply to that email and instead switched to their cell phones to discuss the matter. Their hypocrisy knows no bounds, my friends, no bounds whatsoever. Nancy Case and Sandbags Newsom are among the redcoats that voted against having a special session. Even if Nancy's email was meant in jest, he still said it, and Cowboy State Politics is holding him to it. Well, that'll do it for today's installment of the program. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk again on Saturday during Weekend Update. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.